But Dad, isn't it time for illegal ham interface?
But bro, where's the banjo?
Some Cleveland sports shows try to give you hot takes, but only one can give you a big old piece of hot ham. Welcome to Illegal Ham to the Face. Talking all Cleveland sports. And don't forget our Fat Boy Tuesday, where we also ham it up with some fun food topics. Without further ado, let's serve up some ham. Here are the Ham Boys, Fatty, and Big Bri.
What is going on, everybody? The ham is back, and we are back live. Welcome into Legal Ham to the Face. I am that fat guy, Jared Fatty Bates. He is Big Bri. What is going on today, big fella?
Nothing, man. How you doing?
Hey, man, it's another day. Another day. Beautiful day here in Cleveland. Sun was shining.
I'm with you.
And, you know, after a couple inches of rain that we got over one day, but, you know, I'll take it. When spring's here, you're going to get rain, and you're going to get beautiful days like we had Monday. And today was kind of a beautiful day, so I'll take it.
Yeah, Monday was gorgeous, man. I couldn't believe it. I thought the weekend was supposed to be a little bit nicer for the Home and Garden show, but Sunday ended up being a halfway decent day towards the end of it. But I'm ready. I'm ready for spring.
Speaking of the Home and Garden show, how did it go? How did Lily's Lemonade do, and how did Mama do?
Good. Good. It was a success, probably busier than last year. So no complaints there, really. As good as we could have asked for.
Well, that's a bonus, buddy. We got to let everybody know that our show is brought to you by Harold Keough and Lake Erie APA. Also, we are proud partners with City Dogs Cleveland. We got a May 4th tailgate coming up with the Top Dog Tailgate. It's going to be there at the Berea WJ Lodge coming up. So we got that coming up. Also, Puck for Paws was this weekend. Beth said there was a great turnout. So thank you, everybody that showed up and donated while you're there. Also, we have a new puppy tonight to hopefully get adopted. And Bri, she is right up our alley because she is a chunky girl. So we're going to, I told Beth, she sent me pictures. She goes, she's a little chubby. I'm like, it's all right. So are we. We're a little chubby too. It's all right.
Fit right in.
Perfect for this. So, Chris is here. Chris, what is going on? Chris. Also, you can find us at Ham Legal and on Network 216, Bri. We got a lot of stuff going on tonight. We're talking some Browns, some Cavs. We got Fat Boy Thursday with juices, which you brought up. And we got a couple questions for everybody because I kind of got all over the board with the juices, Bri. So,
okay.
Is it May 4th?
What?
It is May. Oh, no, it's March. It's March 7th.
March 4th. Yeah, my goodness. Somebody's scaring me now.
Well, I saw Justin May 4th. May the 4th be with you. And I'm like, is it May 4th already? What the hell is going on?
Not quite.
So we're getting a great show start off tonight. Bri, but we always start off our show like we do every week with some wonderful shout outs. And Bri, do you have any shout outs this week, brother?
I do not. I don't have any. My bad.
Good, because I got a lot.
Go for it. This. Glad. No. Take her away.
We got a lot of birthdays going on. So we had my aunt, Caressa. Her birthday was on March 1st. My mother, March 2nd. We have a leap year baby. Leap day baby in the family now, Bri. My nephew, Tyler, and his beautiful wife, Aaliyah, gave birth to a 10-pound boy on leap day. So we have that going on. I also got to shout out my family, Dojo and Tanya. We went out to the Hoffer House in downtown Cleveland, which we went out there for his 40th birthday party. And Bri, can I tell you, we had a blast. Little Humperwinkle we were drinking, little pierogies, a little bit of that. I'll talk about more about that in Fat Boy Thursday coming up here later. But we had a great time then. And just shout out to the whole group that went out, Mark and Don. Their kids, we had a great time. We were sitting right next to the band. Your fat guy was dancing on the bench. We did some shot skis. Not going to lie, I did some shot skis. conga line got going. And then obviously, Bryce, something happened. And then they started playing Friends in Low Places. And you know what happens to me when I start getting Garth Brooks, buddy? I was breaking it down. I almost stole the microphone and started singing, and they wouldn't let me. But that's kind of where we were at downtown. But it was a great date night, and I got to thank my beautiful wife. We all had a blast, and, man, I haven't laughed that hard. You know when you laugh so hard that your abs get a workout and you feel it the next day, Bri? That's what it was that night. Like, we were just having a blast.
Great times. Right.
So I just want to shout out all of them and shout out everybody that went to Puck for Paws, the Cleveland Monsters game. For City Dogs Cleveland, I can't thank you all enough. Great turnout, raised some great money for City Dogs like we want to do. So stay tuned. We will be getting ready to start setting up. We'll get to schedule release, Brian. We'll pick our day, and we will do the ham for mutts, and we'll figure it out where we're going to be at, what we're going to do. So stay tuned for that. Other than that, shout-outs are done, Brian. Let's get into our show, buddy. Let's have some fun. Let's get into our trivia, which is brought to you by City Dogs Cleveland. And we do have a new puppy tonight. Let's showcase her right before I play the sounder, Bri. Her name is Winona. Bri, back at look at that face, Bri, right there. You can go on City Dogs Cleveland. And she is like me. She is a pillow hog. And here is the chunky picture, the chubby picture, Bri. She's a little chubby girl. Yeah. There's nothing wrong
with
that.
We all have pictures like that.
I had one yesterday just like that. I'm pretty sure. So please go get a hold of City Dogs Cleveland. See if you can't get. She is in a foster home right now. I know that Beth watched her over the weekend for the foster parent. But if you get a chance to adopt or help out a dog, please do it at City Dogs Cleveland, near and dear to our hearts. They have been ever since we have met them at that Top Dog tailgate, Bri, with the puppies they brought. And we can't thank them enough for everything they do to help out our four-legged furry friends. All right, Bri, you ready for the trivia?
Please.
Sounder. Let's get the trivia sounder going. Like I said, our trivia is always brought to you by City Dogs Cleveland. Bri, are you ready? It is Fatty's turn to dish out some trivia, and I'm going to go right up your alley with some NFL trivia, Bri.
I love it.
I found a little nugget, little picture on social media as we've been doing lately, and I found this wonderful gem of the most losses in the NFL for the past 20 years.
Oh boy.
Two decades, Bri. All right. Now, I need the top three from you.
Oh. All right. I don't think I'm gonna like one of the answers.
I do know one of the wonderful gems. If you look through this list, there's a couple on here that are kind of surprising because they've won Super Bowls lately. But yet the past 20 years have not been good to them. So, stay tuned.
Can you give me a hint? Has any of these three teams won a Super Bowl in the last 20 years?
No.
Okay. So, none of them has won Super Bowl.
I got list of two. I got a list of 16 here is what I'm looking at. And the top, well, let's just put it this way. The top five have over 200 losses, Bri.
Caramba, that's a lot.
That is a lot. All right. All right, Bri, let's get into our fun part of the time right now. Justin is getting very close to that trivia answer. I'm not going to pull it up now because I don't want to give Bri anything that he can use. No. But, Bri, let's dive into our Cleveland headlines. Sorry, a little dance in there. I love that music, Bri. All right, your Cleveland headlines for today, Bri. We will dive deep and hard into the Browns. We're going to get a little Cavs off our chest first. I do have a huge announcement for next Thursday. Next Thursday, we are going to have an interview with Zach Weiss from Across the Cavs. He is also a partner with Network 216. I love their show. We're going to have him on. We're going to dive a little bit into the Cavs because there's only 20 games left before the playoffs, Bri. And right now, the Cavs are dinged up. They're injured. But they've, since we last talked, there has been some magical effing moments for the Cavs. So first off, the very first magical moment was being down 22 points and coming back and beating the Boston Celtics. What? What? All right. Then we had the Dallas Mavericks in town the last set we talked, Bri, and we came back and won that game also. The Cavs are up and down right now, but the thing that's killing me right now is we have Donovan Mitchell is out with a knee injury. You have Caris LeVert played last night, but you had Strus out with a knee injury, just a bruise. And then against the Celtics, Evan Mobley sprained his ankle with nobody around him after a dunk. Cavs are kind of a little up and down, and it's kind of been a little bit of everybody. We had Strus the other night hitting a half-court game winner. Last time was Dean Wade lighting it up. So, Bri, at least some of the bench players are stepping up, but the one person I need to talk to you about, and I don't want to talk about this person because I really do like him, Darius Garland, Bri. With these guys out, Darius Garland needs to really step it up. And, Bri, he hasn't stepped it up. He has found his three-point shot, but he hasn't found anything else, and he has had multiple turnovers trying to force the issue and force a bad pass. And I think a kid just needs to slow down and just take what's in front of him. I mean, I know I watched the game last night, and there was a few passes that he did that he's just trying to force feed it down low to Jared Allen when there's a guy wide open on the edge. But he's trying, Bri, but it's just not enough right now. And I just need him to take a step back and just control the ball and handle the ball the way he should. How are you feeling about Darius Garland right now?
It's difficult right now to be super optimistic with Garland because this should be his time to shine. Mitchell's on the bench, our clear-cut number one, our team leader, and we need somebody else to take the reins and run this ship until he can get back. And at least lately, I think the Boston game, he might have 16. Last night, he might have 15. And, that's unfortunately, that's just not going to be good enough as a number one to really lead a team. We're looking to him to step up. And thankfully, it's been other guys stepping up with Strus and with Wade. But it's a crazy, crazy roller coaster the Cavs are taking us on because, you want to be excited because of the wins. And it's almost like the end of the Browns season to where I told you, just live in the moment, enjoy each game, enjoy each win as they come. And that's kind of how I feel about the Cavs maybe right now. Like, yeah, feel great about what they did against Boston, feel great about what they did against Dallas, but there's kind of an underlying concern that I haven't been able to get out of my mouth since last year's playoffs. And it seems like every time we talk about the Cavs, I'm a broke record because I keep maybe pointing back to last year and to what happened against the Knicks. And we talk about the good, the ups, but we also need to talk about the downs and how they got completely embarrassed on Sunday night. And pretty much on national TV, the Knicks stole your lunch money, and they did it without four of their starters. And I know we were without Mitchell, but going forward, I think with the Cavs, what we need to expect from the Cavs, it kind of reminds me of what we went through with LeBron, to where you have one guy who you can count on, and he's not LeBron. You can't count on – he hasn't proven it in the playoffs yet, but we are going to go as far as Donovan Mitchell can carry us. Everyone else is just kind of a nice piece. Maybe you can count on him, maybe you can't. But, the reality of the situation is you needed two – all-time great performances from Strus and from Dean Wade to come back and win those games. And, I mean, all-time great. Strus was, what, 5 for 5 from threes and 15 points, and Wade was 5 for 5, 7 for 7, something like that. So, like, if Michael Jordan, Steph Curry had these performances that these guys had, they would go down as all-time great games in the NBA. And so they're just not things that you can count on game in and game out. So, unfortunately, I don't want to bring everybody down. Like I said, enjoy these wins as they come. But to me, I see the exact same team that I saw last year. And that's why I'm so frustrated as a fan, because I hear everybody getting down on even the players, getting down on the players, getting down on JB Bickerstaff. Fire this guy. How come he can't do any better than what we're doing? When really, to me, the biggest person we need to point blame at is Colby Altman. He saw how soft we were in the playoffs last year. You know, he didn't go out and make any moves other than adding Tristan Thompson, which was great, but we don't have him right now. But to me, this Cavs team has shown you that they're very limited when they play some of the best teams in the NBA. And let's be honest, I know the Cavs won it, but it was more like the Celtics lost it. A great team being up 20 in the fourth quarter doesn't blow a game unless they completely lose interest and think they already have it packed away. It just doesn't happen. No matter how great one guy can shoot, you know, nobody should be blowing a 20-point lead if they're completely focused. But yeah, to me, I was waiting in the offseason for them to do some moves, and they stood pat and they said, we're going to try it again. We're going to run it back. And I think that was a mistake. I think Darius Garland on a championship team, I don't even know if he can be a 2. I think he's more of a 3. If you want to truly be a championship team, Darius Garland has to be like your third best player. He can't be your second best player, because as we're seeing, if your top guy goes down, Garland has to step in. He can't carry a team. So you almost need somebody else. And, you know, I just feel like we're trying to convince ourselves that this team works, even though we've had a discussion for the last few years. You know, we have 2 point guards and 2 big guys. And how it's like, I was thinking the other day, I used the analogy of like, if I told you to make a salad and I gave you the best lettuce money can buy, and I gave you the best carrots money can buy, and I said, here's 2 bags of lettuce, here's 2 bags of carrots, make me a salad. You can only make so good of a salad, to where if I said, here's some lettuce, here's some onions, here's some carrots, here's a bag of cheese, here's some bacon bits, I give you all these different ingredients, you can make me a better salad, even though maybe the ingredients are better, you have better quality carrots and salad. So just, it's like, I don't know. We're trying to talk ourselves into the Cavs making a run here in the playoffs. But like I said, when I started this whole rant, we're going to go as far as Donovan Mitchell can take us. And it's going to be put the team on his back, and he's going to have to be Superman. Part of me thinks that maybe they're keeping Darius Garland. Why they didn't move Garland in the offseason is I think Darius Garland is just kind of Donovan Mitchell insurance, to where if Donovan Mitchell decides he doesn't want to be here anymore, you kind of have the same player already. Maybe he's 80% of what Donovan Mitchell is. But if he goes, at least we got another guy who can step in, and we don't feel like we're losing a whole lot, to where if they're really concentrating on making a run this year, I feel like they would have made some different moves. And we're just kind of almost trying to preserve the future with Garland and, you know, hoping that Mobley just keeps developing.
Yeah, no, I get it. But, you know, with all the injuries that we've had, man, the good thing about it is like Niang and Strus and Okoro has really stepped up. Those guys are getting some playing time that they need that kind of help you on that depth on the bench, especially when you get into a playoff, knowing that your second team can kind of go out and at least hold the fort until the starters get back out, give them good breathing minutes so they're fresh for the end of the game. But I said it last night, Brian. The one person I'm most impressed with so far this season is Isaac Okoro. Just so far, him having a three-point shot now and actually, like last night, being aggressive against the Hawks, being aggressive getting downhill. I don't know how many times that he actually got downhill, got in the paint, and just had an easy layup or just on a fast break. I mean, everybody's been knowing him for his defense, and he was one of our high draft picks. But just seeing him start now, even though I wish it was a year ago, but starting now to get that three-point shot, starting now to, you know, getting his little jump shot going, has been kind of promising watching him play, because kid plays with his hair on fire, and I appreciate that, especially out of anybody. I mean, we loved it when Dellavedova did it, you know what I mean? So it just nice having Okoro kind of step up and start working this way and working towards his future, because I think he has a bright future being either a sixth man or, you know what I mean? Like, he's just a great defender, Bri. He really is. And, you know, those guys don't get a good enough rap.
Yeah, if, you know, if the Cavs' plan is to have a pretty good window and maybe compete for a title 3, 4, 5 years down the road, if that's their goal, then they're still very young. It's still attainable. But what they need to do is they need to define these guys' roles. They need to say, we are soft in the middle, and so we need, like I said, you know, before last offseason, Jared Allen just needs to slam a bunch of creatine and hit the weight room. Because what's he doing in the offseason? Is he practicing his ball handling skills? No, he doesn't handle the ball. Is he practicing his jump shooting skills? No, he never shoots 15-footers or 20-footers or something like this. Put him in, make him a bodybuilder, make him Mr. Strongman so he can actually hold his own. And then, you know, then you have at least, okay, he's your tough guy, and Evan Mobley, chuck a bunch of threes, you know, chuck threes until your hands are bleeding. Develop that part of your game. So at least there's some, even though, you know, they're always going to be the same size, they're always going to be about the same speed, at least they have defined roles now. Is this is your banger down low, and this is the guy that can pop out and hit some jumpers when you need him to. And then, you know, what you do with the two guards, I don't know. But you know, I was thinking the other night, and I didn't get a chance to watch the game last night against the Hawks, but they have a guy on their bench right now who's coming off, and I wanted him in the draft, DeAndre Hunter. And he's probably not as good. His numbers probably aren't as good as Darius Garland, but he's averaging 15, 16 points. He's shooting, 41% from three, and he's 6'8". And so if you can get a guy like that for Darius Garland, you know, he might be only give you 90 or 95% of his production, but he fits in your team so much better than just having two short 6 foot guys. I mean, I think the Trailblazers perfected it with Damian Lillard and CJ McCollum, and they didn't win anything. And yeah. So, you know, certainly there's a way that the Cavs can make a run in the playoffs, but if everyone's healthy, if, you know, the Sixers are healthy, if the Celtics and the Bucks are healthy, I don't think you can really make a run. But if some of those guys get banged up, they already are banged up with Embiid down and Giannis with an injury now. So there's a way that you can, but it just their best versus our best, I don't think in a 7-game series that we can really compete.
No, and I agree with you with that. I mean, that's where we're at, but this team just needs to come together. I know with the injuries and everything that's going on right now, Brian, but I think if they go back to playing the way they did before the All-Star break as a team, and with Donovan Mitchell pretty much being the point guard and distributing, I think this team can make some sort of noise in the playoffs, but they have to get stronger, and they have to get tough, especially inside. And I know
it doesn't happen in a month's time. It's not like we're going to be tough all of a sudden. You have to do that stuff. You have to put in the work in the off season. So like if we play the Knicks God help us in the playoffs. And part of me, I hope we get a tough draw in the first round. I don't want to go against the Magic in the first round and beat them and then go in the second round and maybe we're playing a banged up Sixers team and maybe we take them to six or seven games and lose and we can start feeling better about ourselves. I think that just prolongs our progress. I think it's either put up or shut up time. I want our best versus your best, and let's see how we are against you. And if we're not good enough, then I'd be fine if they let Colby Altman go. I think he made a huge blunder last year and not making bigger moves than what he did. I feel like we just swapped out one streaky shooter in Max Strus for another streaky shooter in Chetty Osman. Other than that, what did we really accomplish?
Yeah, I hear you. I hear you, Brian. We'll dive in more of this next week when we get Zach on with us. Because I kind of want to pick his brain too, Brian, because, you know, he is more to the grindstone with everything and kind of get his feel on how the Cavs are doing right now, getting ready to go into the playoff run. So we'll see what happens next week with him. Brian, we do have Browns stuff to get into. It's amazing. The offseason is just a circle of holy shit, what is going on? And we've had a lot of that the past, what, it's been a little over a week since you and I have talked. But man, like Russell Wilson getting cut from the Broncos, Michael Thomas getting cut from the Saints.
Oh, I didn't hear that.
Saquon Barkley stepping away from the Giants. A lot of big names are out on the free agent market. A lot of those are linked to us here at the Browns. But the biggest one that will make Justin very happy right now is the Browns are in talk with Joe Flacco and his agents right now. He would love to come back to Cleveland, which everybody says they would love to come back to Cleveland. He would also love to start for a team. But right now the rumblings is like he really would like to come back to Cleveland. Like they haven't talked money yet, but they've talked about other things. How would you feel about Joe Flacco coming back here to Cleveland next year, Bri?
I've been kind of steadfast that I'd be fine. I'd be good with, I'm not going to do backflips over Joe. I think he played very well. I think he played well enough to earn another role or another backup spot with the Browns. I wish him well if he tries to go find a starting position. I think he's, you know, I would say he's deserving based on his four games, but the NFL is so weird in how they do starting quarterbacks. It's either you've proven it, you're in your prime or close to your prime, and you have a starting position, or you're a young up-and-comer and you still have a lot of potential and we believe in you. And that goes fast, as we're seeing with Justin Fields. A lot of fans and everybody's high on Justin Fields. I don't know if NFL teams feel the same way. They feel like you had 3 years to show that you're a starting quarterback in this league. And, you know, you've proven that you're a decent quarterback, but I don't know if anybody's willing to pay him big money right now. But to go back to Flacco, I'd be fine with it, but I'm already getting annoyed with people just constantly comparing Watson to Flacco, Flacco to Watson, everybody's team Flacco, nobody's team Watson, even though, as I pointed out last week, they had the exact same record. And one guy put up a bunch of yards, but he also put up a bunch of turnovers. And one guy beat Joe Burrow, beat Lamar Jackson, and nobody wants to give him credit for that. We just want to look at 300 yards and two touchdowns. And I don't know. For me as a fan, I'm sick of it. Right now, because I had to hear it all day today, I'd probably say, just please, I don't want to deal with this in my life. You know, he's a backup quarterback. He's only going to see the field if Deshaun is hurt anyways. He's just going to be a lot of headache to me. But then there's a little part of me that says, well, if Deshaun does get hurt and he, you know, I'm not standing here saying he's going to play every game. I'm worried just like anybody else is worried. So if he does get hurt, I know I have a guy that can step in and win games. But if everything goes well, and what every Browns fan should be rooting for is that Joe Flacco never sees the field this year. So if that's the case, if Joe Flacco's on the field, things have not gone right for us. So everyone should be rooting for him to never play. And so this will never even be a factor for our 2024 season. But you know, nobody has anything better to talk about. People are very passionate on this subject. So it just, I don't know. I'm ready for free agent stuff. I'm ready for draft stuff. But I feel like this is just going to linger for 8 months or, well, hopefully 6 months. What do you say?
It's just, hey, dude, it's the Baker Wars all over again.
I know. I want to vomit.
Hey, it's just.
Yeah, I thought we got rid of this stuff.
But, Brian, this has been going on in Cleveland for how
long? Not to this extent. People have drawn the lines in the sand.
But think about beforehand. You had Hoyer and Manziel. You had a guy win you games, and then they had to bring in the rookie and play Manziel. You've had, what was it, Holcomb and Couch. You had Derek Anderson. And the people's favorite person in Cleveland is the backup quarterback. I don't know what it is. Like me personally, Bri, I don't want to sign him. And it's not that he's not a good quarterback. I just don't want the headache anymore. We're on a different page now. Like, you and I talk sports now. We talk sports live. We talk sports on Network 216. It's not like we're just talking at home. So me personally, I don't want this, because you know what's going to happen in week two? If Deshaun Watson goes out and shits the bed, here they come.
Play two. Oh, if he throws an interception, play two. I told you so. Oh, I've been telling you since. And I just, yeah.
I know.
I don't need Browns fans fighting with Browns fans. We just, it's going to be a decisive enough or divisive enough year with the election. I don't need a Browns nation to be divided for the next 12 months.
That would be my only reason. But I do. It's intriguing to me because he is a veteran quarterback. Other than him, you have DTR. All right.
Which I thought, and I'm with you. And I honestly would be fine. Like I mentioned last week, DTR, I did see progress in him. But would you be okay with that? Let's take Flacco off the board. Let's take DTR off the board. What do you think? Is there anybody else out there that intrigues you at backup quarterback?
Bri, it's hard. It's hard. I mean, it depends on who you get. That's kind of where I'm at. Like Justin just said here, Fields.
That would be the same thing. There's enough Justin Fields Ohio State fans out there that think he's going to be a Super Bowl winning quarterback. So yeah, they would just be exchanging the Baker problem for the Flacco problem for the Fields problem. And I think they're all good quarterbacks. I just don't think they can all, none of them can take you where you really want to go.
Let me see who's a free agent right now, Bri.
I wouldn't mind bringing back Josh Dobbs. I think I feel like his game and Watson's game line up pretty well. They both do similar things. And so because of that, you don't have to have Flacco. If Flacco's on the field, we run these plays. If Watson's on the field, we run these plays. It's just all one playbook. And so I feel like he's a good, and I feel like he was maybe not as good as he showed at times last year, but he wasn't as bad as he showed at times last year. And I feel like he got some good in-game experience. And because he kind of ended on a sour note, I don't know if there's going to be a ton of people trying to get after him. And yeah, I think he's a good locker room guy. And I'd be comfortable getting him. He'd be a guy that you wouldn't have to break the bank for. And you wouldn't feel completely scared if he had to go in there and start a game or two for you.
All right, so I got three names here that have intrigued me, Bri, after looking at all this. The first one, Drew Lock, 27 years old. You wouldn't expect him to be the starter, be a true backup. And I had to get my old man glasses on so I can read. So this is where we're at, right? Next one, Gardner Minshew at 27. You know he would be a backup, and at least you'd have a somewhat serviceable person.
Yeah. I like Gardner Minshew.
And then the last one, Tyler Huntley. See if the Ravens re-sign him. But that would be one also to kind of look at to just kind of fill in the void. You get another running back. I'm trying to think of people that would be close to Deshaun Watson as I can. And, you know, out of those names, like Jacoby Brissett is not that person. You know what?
Right. Tannehill, as much as I like him.
Kirk Cousins is not that person. So, like, right now, like, Trubisky would have probably been there, but he went to Buffalo on a 2-year
deal. Yeah, I thought of that.
I thought about reuniting him with Dorsey. The one that really does intrigue me, though, is Drew Lock with Seattle. I think he didn't get a fair shake in Seattle, and they brought in, but who knows? I mean, free agent quarterbacks, there's a reason why they're a free agency. And, you know, you're just trying to find somebody to match up that you can call the same plays that you would call for Deshaun Watson, because you're not going to get that with Joe Flacco. It would be a whole different playbook, and they would have to change everything because, not saying he's a statue, but, I mean, come on, he's 39 years old, Bri. He's not moving very well out of that pocket. And Deshaun Watson gives you a different skill set. And Justin, and that's the thing, though. But Justin, this is where we got to get into with Deshaun Watson, which nobody else wants to get into, because right now, Justin, I already had this talk with you on Facebook when we were talking. Right now, if anything happens, this is the year of Deshaun Watson. No ifs, ands, or buts. Like, this is it. After this year, we get our picks back. We get, you know, I know we still have the money, but money, we can figure that out later. But he hasn't played a full season here, all right? Also, they need to see what he is. And everybody, I've had people say, well, he hasn't done as good, and everybody's talking about the magical half that he had against Baltimore and all this other crap, Bri. I just want to see him for a full season and see what he can actually do. Because guess what? If it's a bad trade, they're not going to trade him before the deadline, Bri. No matter what, we're eating all of this. And if the ownership and GM... this doesn't turn out well, they're not going to cut him, because guess what? Cutting him means they made a mistake. And you try to tell a billionaire that he... So I had other music playing in the background because I had
sports contract. I wasn't sure.
Sorry about that.
No, I you cut out there. I didn't know, but glad to have you back. The thing that a lot of people maybe, I don't know if they just look past or they just forget or they just don't think it's possible, especially now that the Broncos have cut ties with Russell Wilson. Like, when I can tell you every single week we're stuck with him. Even if Jimmy Haslam had said, hey, I'll swallow my pride, I made a mistake on Deshaun Watson, hand up, it was on me. You're stuck with him. Because of the money, you're stuck with Deshaun Watson at least this year, probably next year. I don't know. After that, we'll see. But that's why I say, like, I'm sorry, folks. It's not the answer that a lot of people want to hear. He's your starting quarterback. If you think he is not, then, I don't know what else to tell you. It's not me personally. It's not me saying I love Deshaun Watson. I want him to be our starting quarterback. No, I could hate Deshaun Watson and never want to see him play again. Doesn't matter. He's your starting quarterback. He's your starting quarterback. He's your starting quarterback.
And the thing is, though, Bryce, if you look at that Russell Wilson, like, the Broncos are eating $85 million in salary.
The Browns would have to eat maybe twice as much as that.
Yeah. So, I'm not saying it has to work out, Bri, but we just need to know. That's where we're at. We're still, as a fan base, in the unknown with Deshaun Watson. And I don't care. You could throw out, well, he had one good half against Baltimore. I don't give a shit. I watched him have one horrible half, too. It doesn't matter where he was trending or what he was doing. He got injured. He's out. He was suspended. He's out. He got injured. He's out. This is where we have been at with Deshaun Watson since he has become a Cleveland Brown. And it sucks because guess where that puts you, Bri? Purgatory. Quarterback purgatory. And you hate being in quarterback purgatory. And I hate being in quarterback purgatory because guess what? You don't know what you have. Everybody wants the Pro Bowler from 5-6 years ago. God, I would love the Pro Bowler from 5 or 6 years ago. But we don't even know if he's that now, Bri, because we haven't had a decent enough look at Deshaun Watson. He has not played enough here in Cleveland.
Yeah, it sucks. As a Browns fan, it sucks because he's given you flashes where you thought, okay, he's figuring it out. The Tennessee game, nobody wants to remember that or talk about that. He looked pretty darn good in the Tennessee game. And then we find out we're all excited for the Baltimore game the next week at home. And we find out Deshaun Watson has his shoulder injury and he's not playing. And he's not playing for a couple games, maybe a month. And then he comes back and he starts maybe looking a little bit better, especially in the end of the Baltimore game. And then he's out for the year. So it's like you just get a glimpse, and then he has this major injury, and now it's affecting him. Hopefully not moving forward, but that's one thing. I can't sit here and tell you that I know for certain Deshaun Watson's shoulder is going to feel great next year, just like Nick Chubb's knee. These are potentially career-altering injuries, and, I'm hopeful. I'm not going to sit here and like just expect them to suck next year. I'm hopeful that they can get back to Pro Bowl status, but I don't know. I don't even think they know or their doctors know. I think it's just going to take time, see how the rehab goes, see how they play in the first few games. But unfortunately, not many people want to have patience when it comes to Deshaun Watson, but it's just going to be hard going through it until he figures it out.
Yeah, it's amazing. We go from Baker Wars to Watson Wars. It's just a tale as old as time, Bryce, especially here in Cleveland. I mean, that's all I can say, man. Like, we're bitching about having a shitty team or we're bitching about having a shitty quarterback. And this quarterback's not good enough. And then we got this quarterback, and he can't play because he's injured. And then we got this quarterback. And then bring in Flacco. And, Justin, I love what you said about the 39-year-old that can't move. Ultra runner. Camille Heron is 42 years old, and she ran a 50-mile world record, averaged 6 minutes a mile. That's good for her. She did not get tackled by a 310-pound man. I mean, I'm glad that
for 15 years.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I'm not sticking up for the shoulder injury, and it's not even that. Justin, you are taking this a little too hard right now. I'm not saying
this is people are, and Justin's not the only one. People are very invested in Joe Flacco. Like, this is my baby. I've seen him play well. That means he's going to play well for the next 5 years. And if we get rid of him now, we're giving up 5 years of 300-yard passing games and three touchdowns. That would be great, but there's no guarantees. Yeah, he's an old guy. There's a reason that nobody else in the NFL will give him a starting position. Why? I mean, ask yourself that. Why would the Browns – would that make you feel good if we knew that the Browns were the only team – that wanted to make Joe Flacco a starter? It wouldn't make me feel good.
No.
But
I mean, at that point in time,
people are emotional.
It would be a transition. I mean, it wouldn't be – that's the thing, though. If you put Flacco in, it would be a transition to the next quarterback, and it'd be him mentoring somebody. And at this point, he's not going to mentor Deshaun Watson. Deshaun Watson's already been a pro. It's not like he might be a mentor for DTR, but that's about it. Like, he's not going to go in and tell Deshaun Watson's not going to look at Joe Flacco and listen to Joe Flacco. He might listen to him, but he won't hear him. You understand what I'm saying with that one? Like, you know, Joe Flacco might give his advice, but I don't think Deshaun Watson is going to sit there and look at him and be like, all right, he's going to look at him and be like, all right, Pops, I got this. Like, I mean, God, I hate this.
I'm telling you, it's going to creep into every single show. We're supposed to be talking about free agency right now. And 20 minutes on this garbage.
That's all right. Well,
can you hear me?
We'll skip out of it. We'll save Deshaun for another
Okay,
time.
Thank
it's
God.
It's a whole winter thing.
I still got about 20 things to say, but yes, there's a long off season.
Yeah, trust me. I know it's a long off season. It's showing you real quick. Brian, there's been some rumblings about the free agency wide receiver side. A lot of things have been leaked about Mike Williams. Also, there has been rumblings about Stephon Diggs, trading for Stephon Diggs. There's also about Devontae Adams. Michael Thomas is now on the free agent market. You have some really big name wide receiver free agents, but the biggest one is a lot of people are kind of looking at is Mike Williams from the Chargers. That is, if they release him, they could sign him or they could trade for him, however they want to do it. But Brian, how would you feel about Mike Williams coming here to go aside Amari Cooper?
I'd be okay with it. I don't know if I would, be throwing a party or anything like that. He's a good player, but he's been very injury prone. And I'm trying to think, how old did you say he is?
Mike Williams, I think he's like 30. I can't pull it up because the sport track will start playing in my ear. Let me pull it up. You keep talking.
Well, if he's like 29 or 30, then that means he probably played with Deshaun Watson at some point at Clemson.
29.
So Deshaun's 28, maybe, or he will be this year. So I would think that would be a good thing if they have some chemistry. But yeah, he's a big dude, very athletic. I wonder how much these injuries have taken a toll on him. So I don't think he's the best you can do. But then again, I don't really expect the Browns to make a big swing here at wide receiver. I think they might sign a secondary guy. I got a few names down here, like Calvin Ridley. I don't think we'll go after him. I'd be surprised even if they got Gabe Davis, although I'd probably take Gabe Davis, knowing his history with Dorsey, and I think he still has some potential. He's only 25. I think you're looking at guys like Darnell Mooney. I think maybe KJ Osborne, maybe Tyler Boyd or somebody like that, where we're hopeful, kind of like with Elijah Moore last year. Like, we hope you can be a number two guy and guy we can count on. But yeah, we're not going to be dropping 15-20 mil for a wide receiver this offseason. I'd be surprised if we did anyways.
Well, they did free up with the they restructured Denzel Ward's contract, freed up $11 million in cap space. So they freed up some money, but I'm kind of with you. I don't think they're going to take a huge swing in free agency unless they get a deal like they did with Amari Cooper. Giving up a fifth rounder for, a certain somebody that, name your price later. I think they're going to kind of hold pat with Elijah Moore and see if he develops a little bit more. I know that everybody loves the analytics, and Elijah Moore was the most wide open wide receiver in the NFL, I think they were saying last year. Really? So, he got open all the time. It was just when he was open and how he got open, I guess, is when they decided to throw him the ball. But also, you got to remember, they tried to put him in as a scat back. They tried to do all these stupid reverses with him. Just let him run as a wide receiver and see what he does. And then you also still have, Cedric Tillman, and you have David Bell. You're still trying to get a feel for them. I honestly, Bri, I think what they would do is, like you said, go for a secondary guy. I like KJ Osborne. I think he would be okay here. But I think with that second round pick that we got, Bri, I think they're going to go try to get an elite wide receiver that they need. And as deep as this wide receiver class is, Bri, I think they can find a good one there in the second round. And I mean, even if they have to trade up to get one. But I think with that second pick, I think that's what they're going to try to do, is either get that or get somebody on the edge to go along with Myles Garrett.
Yep, I'd be good with either of those. I mean, it just depends on how free agency plays out. to see what you need. You know, we kind of think that there's maybe a need for sure at wide receiver and defensive line still, maybe linebacker. Other than JOK, you're really not committed to any other linebackers or, you know, anybody right now, unless they bring back Taki or Walker. So certainly you could look at a linebacker, but from what we've heard in the past, they don't really value linebackers.
Well, no, but there is a linebacker that came on market that they might be interested in. Who might be interested in Cleveland? What about Jerome Baker?
Don't know a ton about him from Miami. I think certainly he's a name you look at. Again, I don't know if I'd throw a parade if they signed him. I think he's an adequate starter. But, yeah, just I don't know. What do you think?
I mean, I would like – it's another linebacker. I think it would be an upgrade from Taki. I really do. Got a little bit more speed. Know when he was drafted out of Ohio State, that's what he was kind of known for, because when Miami drafted him, everybody was kind of floored a little bit because he was kind of like that undersized linebacker, kind of like JOK, but he had the speed. And I think it would be pretty good to go on the other side. Like if you bring back Walker and you have JOK on one side and Baker on the other side, I think you'd have a pretty good setup at linebacker.
Yeah, I had three linebackers written down here, and maybe they're all too expensive for us and they won't want to pay up. But the top guy is Patrick Queen from Baltimore. I don't know if they'll let him go, but they just gave Roquan Smith a ton of money. So I don't know if they really want to pay two inside linebackers that much. But, yeah, if he hits the market, maybe think about going after him. Jordan Brooks for Seattle, just a tackling machine. And with a guy like JOK who can do so many different things, it'd be nice to have a guy who's just kind of steady, who can make the tackles when guys are right in front of him. And so he would be another one. And then the other one, which I was surprised this guy wasn't higher on people's list, Devin White from Tampa Bay. Certainly he has big game experience. He's still only 26 years old. And he's just kind of, he's always been that quarterback of the defense. And, you know, I don't know what kind of money he's going to command, but I feel pretty comfortable. He's an athletic freak. He's been running with some of the best defenses, but I think maybe, he just tried to either, it sounds like he either just tried to do too much last year, or he just wasn't doing what he was supposed to be doing. Maybe being a little too over aggressive and not as disciplined as he should have been. And, you know, I think the coaches down there weren't too happy about that. So maybe you can resurrect him a little bit and, yeah, hopefully fit right into a Jim Schwartz system.
Yeah. Hey, that'd be great, especially another young linebacker in. I would be 100% down for that, Bri. Is there anybody else in free agency you kind of want to talk about before we switch over to a little juices?
I mean, the hot name going around is Christian Wilkins. And he's certainly a dog, and he will command top money. I think back to last year when we signed Tomlinson and didn't want to pay up for Hargrave, who went to the Niners. I think maybe he would get that kind of money that Hargrave got, $21 million a year. So I wonder if the Browns would really want to invest that much into their defensive line, especially with Schwartz, you know, kind of being known for developing and, you know, turning guys that who are maybe underperforming into stars. And so, you know, you'd have $25 million in Myles Garrett, maybe $20 million in Wilkins, and I think Tomlinson signed for what, 12 or 13, maybe $14 million last year, and then throwing Za'Darius Smith back in there. If so, I don't know if they would really. I mean, that would be a huge commitment. That would be letting you know that they're ready to win now, going all in, and he'd probably demand like a 3 or 4 year contract, even though I think he's 28, 29 years old. So, so him, I had his name down, DJ Reader. If you can't get him, I would love to get DJ Reader. I think he played for Cincinnati last year, and his season was cut short by a torn quad. So there's people that are maybe uneasy about that. But I think that might drive his price down a little bit, and he's getting a little bit older, up around 30. So having him opposite Tomlinson, him and Tomlinson might be pretty similar to where they're both kind of run stuffers. So maybe you're looking for a guy that can get more pressure on the quarterback up the middle. But yeah, I wouldn't mind him. So yeah, I think depth on the offensive line, wide receiver, and then filling in a couple spots on defense is what we're looking at.
Yeah, and we'll, you know, next week when tampering period starts and we start getting some dominoes to fall, we'll see what happens with the free agents as they come in and out, and see who the Browns kind of get back on the backside. We'll dive into that next week, Bri, because I mean, I still think they're going to re-sign some of their guys, especially, you know, I really do think Anthony Walker's coming back. They really do love him here, and I think he'd be one of the ones that would come back. And then a couple others. I think they'll re-sign a few others, but just see what happens with, I mean, because if they do get Wilkinson, man, that's all in. Like, that's a big splash. That's not like a little splash. That's like a Mo Hurst belly rub kind of splash, buddy, off the diving board.
Mm-hmm.
And I would love every minute of it. I just don't know if they would do it. Yeah, that's where we're at right now. It's like, it's playing that money game. It's playing the cap game. And it's also playing a fit for this team. And man, oh man, it would be so nice to have him though, Brian, because like you said, he is a dog. Oh my God, he'd be perfect
with his defensive line. Another Clemson guy, another guy that Sean played with there. So, I mean, you would think that would help in the locker room, just getting guys on the same page, guys that are familiar with each other. But yeah, I think I don't know how we have any money to spend, to be honest, because we're paying so many guys such high dollar amounts that yeah, I mean, just think about it. Just go starter by starter along, you know, the offense and the defense. And it's like 7, 8 out of 10 starters are making $10+ million, it seems.
Well, and then also they got that $30 million bump in revenue of the salary cap.
Yeah,
and then
that helped for sure.
You got that. And then the restructuring of Denzel Ward freed up $11 million. So, I mean, there's money there. I mean, I'm not saying it's a lot of money, but you also got to look at the Browns, and they've been very aggressive in free agency and moving the cap around. And also the great thing is all this restructuring, they're just throwing money at people right now. And we have an owner that is throwing money around like crazy right now, because all that is them paying the signing bonus. That's millions of dollars coming out of the owner's pocket, going straight to the player to restructure everything. And it's guaranteed money. And, you know, not a lot of owners, let's just say Cincinnati, doesn't have that kind of cachet. So for him to actually be dealing out the way he's been dealing out to get this team where it's at, it's actually a pretty good thing for us, because we actually do get to have fun in free agency, because normally we talk about all these big guys, Bri. We're never going to sign those big guys. Well, now it's a little different. We might get one, you know, like we're a different team now than what we were, which we'll find out here in our wonderful trivia coming up later. But, Bri, you brought up a wonderful, wonderful question for Fat Boy Thursday, and here we go. What is your favorite juice? And let's talk about juices. So, Bri, I'll ask you first. Bri, what is your favorite juice that you like to drink?
I'd probably go OJ. Probably go orange juice. And I think maybe it's changed over the years. I used to not like it as much. You know, when you're a kid, you just want something that's full of sugar, and that's apple juice. And
oh, God, yeah.
Now you're an adult, you're like, holy cow, this thing is just liquid sugar. you pretty much have to water it down, and I think they even sell them watered down now. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, orange juice, you know, for the most part, refreshing. You know, I could drink it. I just had some today, but I could drink it pretty much any time of the day, I feel like.
For me, I have two. Number one would be grapefruit juice. Always love grapefruit juice.
Never had it.
Especially when it's fresh, like especially with orange juice. Like you can tell if orange juice has been kind of like, it's not real orange juice. You know what I'm talking about? Like, but if you get some like grapefruit juice, and the other one for me is fresh, and it has to be fresh, not the processed shit. Fresh tomato juice, Bri. You get it straight from the garden. It gives a whole different flavor. Dude, I love V8.
I did not see that coming.
I use it in my chili. I have three jars of it downstairs in my pantry right now of tomato juice.
But do you drink it?
Yeah. Oh, God.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Yeah, see using stuff as an ingredient and something else, sure. But if you drink it straight, okay, that's a juice. Gotcha.
Oh, yeah. I love juice. Here is another one. Said orange juice any time of the day is always a move. Hey, I get it. A lot of people went with orange juice. Some people went with cranberry juice, Bri.
Yeah, I can see that. It's acquired taste, kind of.
Now, we got to really get into the meat of the topic, why you brought this up, Bri. Because, you know, we always kind of debate of things. And I have to say, I brought this up to multiple people, and I've gotten different answers for all of them. Even my dad, and my dad even gave the best answer, and I have to agree with my father on this, Bri. But here it is. Is lemonade a juice? Now, you have Lily's Lemonade. You know what goes into a lemonade. So, Bri, is lemonade a juice to you?
No. I've never thought of lemonade as a juice. And even having time to... So where this originally came from, you know my love, Saturday mornings, become a ritual, listening to Marty McGee, and they brought this up, or somebody brought it up, and they were talking about it for a couple hours, and I had never considered it. I never even thought of it. But it kind of is, but I really don't, no, I don't think it is. Not to me, it's not lemonade. I don't know what lemonade is. Kind of like Justin with hot dog being a taco or a sandwich or whatever. Yeah, I have a hard time wrapping my head around it. Right.
So my dad brought this up to me because I asked him, it was this morning at 6:04 a.m. I asked my dad this question because I have it written down here at the time, Bri. I said, Dad, it's lemonade juice. He goes, son, I hate to tell you this, but it's no. And I'm like, okay, explain, Papa. And he goes, son, you might have lemon juice in it, but you put lime in beer. Just because the lime's in a beer, does it make it a juice? No, it's beer. I was like, you have blown my mind, Papa. You have blown it off the wall. He talked about Corona. He talked about Blue Moon, putting the orange in the beer. He goes, no, still beer. So I believe that lemonade, I am like you, is its own thing. I don't think it's a juice. Kind of like Kool-Aid. Kool-Aid is not a juice. There's no way Kool-Aid is a juice because you're mixing sugar with it and everything else. I think the same thing with that. Like when I think of juice, I think of something that can be fresh squeezed into a glass. You have your orange, grapefruit, apple. Now
it is though. Lemonade is fresh squeezed straight from the lemon.
But it's added sugars to it.
Right. But do you think they add sugar to apple juice?
Now, they do, but, Bri, they don't do it to orange juice. You can actually have a fresh-squeezed orange juice.
Oh, yeah, I know. But what makes apple juice a juice and lemonade not a juice?
Yeah, but I don't know.
This you got pretzel in your head? I'm not telling you I have the answer. I thought it was a very intriguing question.
Well, here's another one that rules right now. Is apple cider a juice?
Also a good question. Yeah. As somebody who has seen how apple cider is made. I don't know. Right. I don't know. What's the difference between a cider and a juice? It sounds like we need a food expert or somebody, a culinary student on here to explain to us the differences.
Like it baffles me because there's so many gray areas with juice, kind of like there is with, like you said, is a hot dog a taco? you and I both agree that a hot dog is a hot dog. It's its own entity. But
it's a sandwich, I said.
You said it's a sandwich. I don't think it's a sandwich. I think it's its own thing. But like, it's, you know what I'm saying? Like, but a hamburger is technically a sandwich.
But oh, for sure.
It's in a different category because it's a hamburger. It's not a deli sandwich. It's a hamburger. You call it by its name. So that's kind of how I feel with like lemonade and things of that nature, because yes, you're putting lemon juice. Now, Bri, still believe that the best lemonade ever made is from Lily's Lemonade. One, beautiful plug there. Two, the lemonade you get at the fair in the huge ass cups. You got those guys just squeezing lemons, throwing into sugar.
We're better. We're better than the fair lemonade.
Well, I know you are. That's why I put you first.
We got different flavors. Lemonade is just lemonade. We got strawberry, peach, red raspberry. We've done green apple. We've done pineapple lemonade. We've done watermelon lemonade.
Green apple's got to be delicious.
So the green apple is not fresh because the apples, they go bad too quickly. So and the syrup actually tastes better than the actual smashed apples. So that's one where we do use the syrup. But I don't know. I don't even think I've had it yet. But we had a couple people this weekend order it.
Let's see here. We got a strawberry peach mango juice. Really good.
That sounds good.
That sounds good. Now, where would you category a smoothie then, Bri?
It's a fruit milkshake.
That's where you're going with that? You know, even though they use juice?
Yeah, it's a fruit milkshake. Like you have a milkshake with milk and artificial flavorings and stuff like that. A smoothie is, you know, ice and fruit, basically. I mean, you can add other stuff to thicken it up, but
yeah,
that's where I'd go with that one. What do you think?
I mean, I kind of agree, but I know the ingredients, like smoothies are the shit. I'm not going to lie. I went to Pulp. We got new Pulp over here by the house. Love Pulp. I just get normally I get the beet with the strawberry banana. It's all red. And I mean, it's all red. Great flavor. But also they got like the power greens that you can get into. So it, like, I'm not going to lie, I'm kind of a fan of smoothies. I never thought but man.
Save your money. Save your money. Go out and buy you a. So I had one of those. Have you seen the blend jets?
Yeah.
Those little things. Don't get a blend jet. Mine broke and like it didn't even last 6 months. So I went out.
A ninja,
I got
is what you're saying.
Yep. I got a ninja and I've had it for a few months. I use it every day, every weekday. And I just throw blueberries, fruits, spinach, whatever into it. And you know, you don't have to pack it or blend it up before you leave in the morning. You just throw it in there. And then when you get to work, when you want to drink it or something, you just blend it up and drink it. They're only like, 50, 60 bucks. So, yeah, I don't know. What does a smoothie at Pulp go for?
Depends on what you get. Like, I think I got mine for like $5. But I don't do it that often. I don't do it every day.
Sure, that's not as bad.
But like
thinking $7, $8, $9.
The kids get it. Like the kids, like Alexander loves like the orange sherbet one. They got like an orange sherbet flavor. Charlie is a strawberry banana kind of guy. I've done a mixture of a whole bunch. I did like the power greens with the kale and the spinach and, cucumber, whatever else they put in it. I've done other ones too. Have not done the super protein with the peanut butter and the whey protein and all that stuff. But, obviously.
Didn't Andrew used to get one that was how many calories was it? Like 2,200 calories or
1,800 but it had like 60 grams of protein in it. Like he just,
What was it called? It was the gorilla or something, wasn't it?
I don't know. No, tea would be something different. I'm thinking of other juices. Like is tea a juice?
Nah, tea's tea.
All right. But no, I mean, I love the argument, like especially with the lemonade as a juice, because, you have so many different things that, people consider juices that it's like, is it really a juice though? Because you got like lemonade, you got Kool-Aid, like Crystal Light could be in. But What about, hold on, here's another one. What about Sunny D? Favorite thing as a kid growing up? You know what I'm saying? Like, is that truly a juice?
Boy, I guess I don't know enough about it. To me, growing up, I always just thought it was orange juice.
That's what I thought too.
Now that I'm older, I think they add a lot of, I don't know if there's any like true oranges in there, if it's just like Tang where it's like a powder and then they add a bunch of sugar. But don't they have, speaking of Sunny D, don't they have, are they seltzer Sunny D's or is it vodka Sunny D?
Sunny D and vodka. And they are.
So is it a Sunny D flavored vodka or do they sell them like the.
It's like what,
the
White Claws.
The Trulies or.
Yeah, oh, okay. Like the White Claws, but it's Sunny D and vodka and Bry is the most glorious thing. Now beware. They sneak up on you because last week when I had the ginseng, what was it, that Arizona hard tea that we had, Bry?
Oh, yeah, right.
Bry, that snuck up on me. It's been a while since I had, I mean, it tasted just like the regular iced tea. And as you're drinking it, you think it's just regular iced tea. And you ever have the woo moment where it really hits you hard?
Oh, yeah.
I had that as I was editing our audio because I'm sitting there, I'm getting ready to type a word and the word was not coming out right the way I wanted to type it. And I sat back for a second. I'm like, why is this? And then I went, woo. And then it caught me. I'm like, wow.
Hate yourself.
But they're so good though. Like it's seriously is the first one that I felt like you're drinking real tea. Like not like a sugar down or anything like that. Like, it legit tasted just like the regular tea. And, man, snuck up on me, Bry. Not going to lie. Even the guys at work were making fun of me for it. I was like, man, I'm sorry. Like, I haven't had something sneak up on me liquor-wise like that in a while. And then, yep, Sunny D was the bomb. Definitely the bomb, especially as a kid growing up. Are you messing with your dongle?
No, this thing's maybe the headphones died or something. Hopefully you can hear me.
Oh, I got you all day, bud. All right. Well, now that we are off our juices, we will switch over to our top three tonight, Brian. Our top three I brought up to you was bringing up events for Cleveland. WWE SummerSlam is going to be slated for here in Cleveland. We also got the women's NCAA Final Four going down at the Romo Viejo Rocket Mortgage Fieldhouse. Bry, give me your top three, because obviously we're not going to get a Super Bowl until we get a dome. That's how it happens. So give me your top three events that you would like to see here in Cleveland other than the Super Bowl.
Okay. So I have number three. We've had it before, but I think it's just in... I don't know. Maybe I'm a little watered down after this event a few weeks ago, but I still think the NBA All-Star Game is a great time. It brings a lot of attention and visitors to the city. So that's my number three. Number two, I went with men's Final Four, college basketball. I always hear that that's just unbelievable. Just a completely different atmosphere than you've ever experienced before. I don't know if they would have it, and they usually do it in football domes in Indianapolis, I think of, and other places to pack in the most amount of people. But if they would ever do it in an arena, I think it would be very cool to have that in Cleveland. And then my number one is something I hasn't been in Cleveland for a very long time, maybe when I was a little kid in the 80s. AFC Championship game.
There you go, brother. Look at you. That's a great
optimistic
one. All right. So number three for me would be the NCAA Men's Final Four. I agree with you on that one. I think it'd be great here in Cleveland, especially at the Rocket Mortgage Fieldhouse. Number two for me, Bry, a U.S. Open. I would love one of our golf courses to host the U.S. Open here in Cleveland. We have so many great golf courses here. You and I both know that. Be great to host a U.S. Open here in Cleveland. And, Bry, my number one, and I know it will never happen probably, I would love the Pro Bowl to come to Cleveland.
Huh?
I know it won't happen. I know it never happened in a million years.
They barely want to go to Hawaii.
I know, but I would still love it to come to Cleveland. I would love to come to Cleveland because of the Pro Football Hall of Fame. They could play it down at Benson Field down there in Canton. I would just love to have the Pro Football here for 1 year at the Pro Football Hall of Fame, the Pro Bowl. I think it would be truly an amazing. Now, can you imagine them playing dodgeball in the snow? Bunch of pussies. I don't think they would do it.
Yeah, I didn't think of that.
I don't think they would do it, Bri.
Yeah, I don't know.
Skills challenge would be really funny in a blizzard. I think it would go great in a blizzard.
Yeah, it'd be good for people to watch next to the fire in their 72-degree living room.
Yeah, trust me, I know that. All right, Bri, let's finish up this show. Get out of here. We're going to finish up our trivia, which is brought to you by City Dogs Cleveland. Let me throw up some pictures again of Winona, who is a beautiful girl. Please go adopt her at City Dogs Cleveland. Look at that beautiful face, Bri. Can't say no to that face. All right, so in the past 20 years, Bri, I'm pretty sure we've probably done this one before, but I'm rehashing it just to let you know where the Browns are at now. Past 20 years, who has the most losses in the NFL? Give me the top three.
So, full disclosure, I think I saw this, but this was maybe a month ago or so. So it's not like burned into my brain, but I did see it at some point. And unfortunately, I think our Browns are at the top.
That is correct.
Okay. How many? 200?
221 losses in the past 20 years.
221 for the last 20 years. So that means we average 10 losses a year.
Yep, Bri.
Boy.
Yep.
Okay. We'll move on from that as quickly as we possibly can. I think maybe another team that came to mind, Jacksonville. Are they on there?
They are number three at 209.
Okay. Boy. And then my number one, I kind of go back and forth. There's two teams that I'm thinking of. One made it to the Super Bowl, but one made it to a couple AFC championship games. But I feel like they've been pretty bad. I'm going to say the Jets.
Not the Jets. Jets are number five.
Really? Okay.
Six.
All right. So now I got two new teams or one new team.
I'll give you one more shot.
I'm going to say Detroit.
Detroit is number four.
Number four. Okay, so the other one that came to mind was Chicago.
Chicago is number like 10 or 12.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Hmm. Boy. Crappy teams.
Texans? You want me to help you? Huh?
Texans?
Texans are in the top 10, I believe.
Okay. Give me a conference then.
AFC.
AFC. Not the Browns. Not the Raiders.
The Las Vegas Raiders.
Really?
Number two. Hmm. So you have Cleveland Browns at 221 losses. The Las Vegas Raiders at 215. Jaguars at 209. Detroit Lions at 208. The Washington Commanders at 202. The Jets, 199. Tampa Bay Buccaneers at 191. Houston Texans at 190. The L.A. Rams at 188, tied with the Arizona Cardinals at 188. Then it goes the New York Football Giants, the Miami Dolphins, the Chicago Bears, the San Francisco 49ers, Carolina Panthers, and the Tennessee Titans round up the list.
Well, surprising. I wasn't I didn't know the Raiders have been that bad. I'm trying to think of like top draft picks or something that they've had. Jamarcus Russell, I guess.
But I Jamarcus Russell. The Bills aren't even on here. Mick, thank you for tuning in. Bills aren't even on the list. But yeah, seriously. But just think about that, Bri. 221. Folks, gotta love this team.
I don't want to.
Gotta love this team now. We have turned
and here. We
have
here turned we are around. Complaining about a team that won 11 games.
I know, and we're sitting here
bitching about this guy's not good enough. That guy's not good enough.
We're bitching about the playoffs and everything else, people. Like, come on.
Thank you for putting that into perspective here.
Not a problem, buddy. That's what we do here at Illegal Ham to the Face. All right, everybody. Well, we're going to get off here. Please go subscribe, like everything, retweet on all of our social medias at Ham Illegal at Network 216. Also, check out City Dogs Cleveland. Please go adopt a dog, dine, and donate. And we want to thank our troops and first responders for everything you guys do. We wouldn't be able to do stuff like this without you guys helping us out. Bri, love this time at the end of the show. God bless them.
Yep, God bless you. God bless America.
I am that fat guy. We are Legal Ham to the Face. We are definitely uncorked, unloaded, and we're out. Safe. Shenanigans.